Many of you know Pastor Justin Perry. He is pastor of the what do you call, just a Morningstar Church? Morningstar Fort Mill Church. Up there with Rick Joyner, a good friend of many of us. And I know that we've spent several trips going up there to conferences and things. And one of the funnest times that we had was went to New Year's Eve conference. And stayed right there, and we were right on the balcony, you know, and just had a ball. That was just quite a way to usher in the new year. That was great. But anyway, Pastor Justin, will you come on up? He has brought a team with him, and I think I met most of them, but there's only one name in the whole group that I remembered, and that's Brandon. Where is he at? And the reason I remember that is because my son's named Brandon. But anyway, we're glad to have him here this morning. And I'm just going to turn it over to Pastor Justin and just let him go and do and whatever the Holy Spirit leads him to do. But thank you for being here. Can we welcome Pastor Justin?
Thank you so much for having us. I told my team about Pastor Donnie and Pastor Cindy as soon as we got ready to come. So we love being here. I mean, first of all, this is the most beautiful church I could ever imagine. You got the view of the river the whole time. But really, the hearts of the people in Augusta, I'm going to defy gravity here. I don't know how I'm going to do it. The hearts of the people in Augusta are just amazing, amazing. We've just so enjoyed. This is our third trip here. I don't think anyone on this trip has been here with me before, but I always bring a team. Thank you. And every time I'm just so impressed with the hunger, and there's just maybe there's thousands and thousands, but I know for sure there is a remnant here in Augusta that is chasing after God and just going after the things of the Lord, the things of the Spirit. And so you're my kind of people. So thanks for having us back. We're really, really thankful to be here. I wanted to mention real quick, we do have some stuff on the table back there. About half of the things back there pertain to dreams. I wrote a book called Adventures in Dreamings that's really after Adventures in Dreaming. Thank you. That really came out of, about a 15-year journey of just dreaming and interpreting dreams, and got some incredible supernatural revelation in a season of about 18 months of prayer. I've never read a book on dreams. I read like crazy. I read books just, constantly. But every time I would go to read a book on dreams, the Lord would kind of give me a pause. And so, thank you very much, sir. That was perfect. Yeah, and I'll talk about those too. And so the dream thing, I would say, is really, as far as fruit and testimonies are concerned, probably the greatest impartation that I carry. The number one thing that we hear after people read the book or go through one of the workshops or something like that is that their dream lives just come alive. They're getting visitations in the night. Their spirit is interceding in their dreams. Really incredible stuff. Thank you so much, sir. So if you want that, there's a book, there's a dream. I think there's only two dream journals left, but check those out. And then there's also some CD sets and some DVD sets. These are supernatural ministry. This is basically our prophetic training, our healing training, and our evangelism training. And it's kind of taught in the context of normal life. Like, how do you walk as a prophetic person in normal life, ministering prophetically, ministering healing? And so if you want any of that stuff, it's all back there. And it's all pretty cheap. It's cheaper than, Amazon or the bookstore or whatever. So check it out. Thanks, Zach. All right. Well, I did want to share something. I knew from a week or so ago what I was going to share this morning here with your church. We had an interesting lead up to the trip because I had a whole group of students who were going to come, and they all bailed on me. All the students bailed out on me. And so I really wasn't that concerned about it because I knew the Lord had put together a great team. But honestly, the team that he put together is phenomenal. I mean, I know that you guys are meeting them for the first time, but around Morningstar, this group that I brought, every one of them are just known as people who hear from the Lord. Many of them are leaders in the ministry. Zach back here is our youth pastor and outreach pastor. Walks in incredible healing, anointing. They saw a lot of healing and miracles last night at the meeting. And so I think they're going to be praying for some people today. So it's a really incredible team. So we have Zach, Gabe, Constance, and I expect you guys to remember all of these names. Victoria Indira is missing. I hope she didn't get raptured. No, she's right there. And then we have Brandon. So really awesome team. But I knew what I wanted to share. And so I feel like I have a word from the Lord. So let's pray and we'll just get right into this. Well, Lord, we do thank you for this incredible group of hungry people. We thank you, Lord, that you draw near to us when we draw near to you. And so, God, we say that we're coming after you this morning. We're here for one reason. It's to see your face. It's to behold your glory. It's to draw close. And so we worship you and we ask you to release to us your power and your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so yesterday morning I had just a quick vision, and I've shared it in a couple of the meetings because I felt like it was a word for Augusta. And what it was is a friend of mine I just saw as I was waiting on the Lord, a friend of mine whose name is Jason Hooper, he pastors a church in Alabama. In this vision, I just saw him and he turned to me and he said to me, if you want explosive growth, then I want you to have a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. And so I thought it was significant because I knew what his name means just because I'm very interested in different biblical words and meanings of names and stuff. Well, the word Hooper is the word, which is his last name. That's the word for super or for extraordinary in Greek. Whenever Paul says you are more than a conqueror, you're a super conqueror, he says you are a Hooper Nike. That's actually where the word Nike comes from. And the name Jason means healer. So Jason Hooper's name literally means the healer extraordinaire or the super healer. And so I felt like it really was representing the Lord, that he was representing the Lord, and that the Lord was giving an invitation to this region to draw near for face-to-face encounters with God. And that's the place of explosive growth. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18, if we behold the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, we are transformed into his image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And I think that's an invitation to every generation in every place at all times. But I felt like specifically it was a word for you, for those that we're ministering to over these couple days that we're here. You know, my birthday is June 24th. And a while ago, some time ago, the Lord gave me Isaiah 62:4 as kind of a life verse. And Isaiah 62:4 is, if you've heard of the word Hephzibah and the word Beulah, this is whenever the Lord's speaking to Israel and he says, you'll no longer be forsaken, you'll no longer be desolate, you'll be Hephzibah, you'll be Beulah. And that literally means you will be married to me because I delight in you. And so I feel like that's a word that I just, you know, whenever I go before the Lord, I try to keep it in my heart that the Lord delights in me. He loves me. He really likes me. He likes to be around me. He's married to me. He's committed to me. And he's interested in a deep relationship with me. He wants an intimate relationship with me. He's a bridegroom. I'm a bride, even though I'm a dude. There's that thing where we posture ourselves for a deep relationship with God, where we have a life with him in the secret place that is the most fulfilling part of our existence. And so I was thinking about, as I was praying this morning, Enoch, and Enoch had one of these deep relationships with the Lord. He had one of these relationships where he knew that the Lord delighted in him. He knew that the Lord loved him. And it was actually because of this deep, intimate relationship with the Lord that Enoch was taken and was not found. It actually tells us that in Hebrews. It says, before he was taken, Enoch obtained the testimony that he was pleasing to God. That was the secret. That was the key to Enoch having this relationship where God just said, Enoch, I am just so in love with you. I can't stand us being apart anymore. I'm going to go ahead and bring you on over into the age to come because I just can't stand being without you. And that relationship with God grew out of this revelation that Enoch had that he was pleasing to God. He began to understand that. He began to get a hold of it. And so I think it's actually one of the most important things that we've got to get settled in our heart is that the Lord really does love us. He's crazy about us. You know, He gave His only Son for us. And if He would not withhold His only Son, would He not freely give us all things? I mean, He's a God who is a lover, and He's done everything that is needed in order to make us a holy vessel that's acceptable in His presence. Whenever we begin to go before the Lord, and, you know, there is a place of repentance where God shines light in dark places, and we say, yes, Lord, I acknowledge this place of darkness, and I turn from it. But we've got to move past the focus on our own junk. And part of repenting is not only focusing on our darkness, it's actually turning from that and turning to the Lord. You know, we turn to the Lord. It's like in the Song of Solomon, at the very beginning of her journey, she makes this statement. She says, I'm dark, but I'm lovely. I'm dark, but I'm lovely. And that doesn't mean that we're content to stay in our sin. We're going from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from strength to strength. And the Lord leads us, and we repent when God puts His finger on something. If we're living in stuff we know we're not supposed to, we're turning from it, and we're turning to the Lord. But we've got to get a hold of the reality that the Lord really does love us, that we're lovely to Him, that He wants to be with us. Whenever we start to get in that introspective thing that keeps us from the presence of God, if our self-evaluation causes us to draw back and to think, God, I'm getting this stuff right, and I'm getting sorted out, and, you know, I'm going to be ready to really go deep and really come into Your presence. I'm getting there, and we just kind of stay at a distance because we feel like once we really get all of our stuff straight, then we can go into the Lord's presence. We have the whole thing completely backwards. It's by going into His presence that we actually get radically transformed. It's by the face-to-face encounter that we walk in explosive growth. It's when we behold His glory that we're transformed into His image. It was whenever Joshua the high priest was caught up before the Lord. He was literally caught up before the throne of God. And I think it's Zechariah 2 or Zechariah 3. It wasn't until he was caught up in the place of the manifest presence of God that the filthy garments were taken away from him, and he was given a clean robe and a clean turban, and the Lord was his defender who shut the mouth of the accuser. It was the accuser who was bringing accusation and who was talking about the filthy garments and the filthy turban. And the Lord says, yes, I see that stuff, but I'm actually taking it away and I'm giving him a clean garment. And so I just wanted to, let's just determine that we are going to draw near to the Lord, that we're not going to draw back, that we're going to push closer, that we're going to move in for intimate, real, living relationship and dialogue with God. We want to seek His face, and we want to live close to Him. You know, Ephesians 3, I think usually whenever I'm in a group like the kind of believers that we get to interact with in Augusta, I'm looking at people who really want to walk in the fullness of God. I mean, you're here because you're hungry, and you're here because you have a vision to be someone who carries the presence of God and makes a dramatic impact in the earth. Well, Ephesians, this is Ephesians chapter 2, or Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 21. I have kind of a lot here, so I'm not going to read it all, but this is the passage that talks about us knowing the love of God, the depth and the height and the width and the breadth, to know the love of God which passes knowledge. Whenever we get a hold of the love of God and we get a revelation of how deep and how wide and how big God's love is for us, right after that it says, and then we will be filled with all the fullness of God. It's actually laying hold of a revelation of how much the Lord loves us that positions us to be filled with all the fullness of God. It's whenever we get an understanding of how much the Lord loves us and how much He wants to be with us that we'll begin to draw near to Him. And it's whenever we begin to draw near to Him and spend time in His glory that an anointing comes on our life so that we can actually begin to walk in the fullness of God that I believe most of us are really hungry for. I know in this season I am determined to really get back to the place of prayer and get back to a lifestyle of spending time with God that actually satisfies the ache in my soul, the ache in my spirit. You know, we go through seasons where life stuff happens, and 2018 was a really unique year for me. I won't go into the story, or we'd have to get somebody up on a violin as I was telling you about it, but it was just one of those years. And, you know, just to be quite honest, I allowed myself to pull back from the pursuit of intimacy with God that I'm called to. I'm called to minister to the Lord. And I believe you're called to the same thing. I'm called to live closely to Him, to hear His voice, and to see His face. And so just, you know, I had a bad response to circumstances. I didn't get into sin or anything like that, but I just allowed my heart to grow cold. And now I'm determined that I am going to get back to that place where I live before the fire of His love and live before the fire of His presence, that even the cold places in my heart will be warmed. Even the icy places will be melted. Any place that's hard will actually be softened by the presence of God. And so these past several months, I've rearranged my schedule. I've made a deal with my family. For 16 years, every morning, I was up a couple hours before everybody else usually, unless somebody woke up early, spending time with the Lord. And then after my third child was born, I like to say she's been in the Psalms where David says, early in the morning I rise, and she's up at 4:30 or 5 every morning. And so I lost my mornings, and I'm trying to fit my time with God in other places, and it just didn't work. And so I made a deal with my wife. What do we need to do in order for me to get my mornings back? And we actually worked out a plan so that I can get my mornings back. And I'm coming alive again. I'm getting my life back. My life in God is the core of who I am. It's the core of my life. And the most satisfying thing in my entire life is my life of encounter with God. And so I'm getting my life back. And it's been absolutely awesome. I want to be expert in prayer. I want to be expert in intimacy with God, not because I read a lot of books or because I went to school for it or because I've got some theology for it. I want to be expert, so to speak, in relationship with God because I'm actually living deep with the Lord. I'm actually living in a place where I have an interactive, living relationship with Him, and some things are starting to happen. Some things are really starting to move. You know, my spirit's coming alive. My prayer life is coming alive again. Two more things that I want to share that I feel are just, you know, that I want to kind of bring together as a word this morning. One of them is I believe that one of the most significant challenges that many believers have walked through, and I don't get to interact with the whole body of Christ. I get to interact with a certain segment. But many of those that I'm called to minister to have gone through some kind of a trial or a test of faith in the past year or two. And I'm not just talking about, you know, things are tough. I'm saying your faith has been tried in fire. Your life of believing and trusting in the Lord, believing for big things, believing that He is an almighty supernatural God and that you can trust Him and that if He has said it, then He will do it. And I believe that many have walked through things that may have bruised their faith. And what the enemy has desired to do is to take advantage of the test of faith. The test of faith is actually a gift from the Lord. He says it's more precious than gold whenever we get our faith tested. But the enemy seeks to take advantage and seeks to bring unbelief or doubt right in the midst of a test that's actually meant to be a gift from God to purify the gold faith that He's given to us. And there's this warning in the book of Hebrews that I think is just the kindness of the heart of God that He gives us such a clear warning. And He says, beware, this is Hebrews chapter 3, He says, beware, brothers and sisters, that there be not in any one of you a wicked, unbelieving heart. And this word, wicked, unbelieving heart, or a wicked heart of faith that causes you to turn away from the living God. This word, wicked. And I've read it in many different translations, and I've looked at several different Greek lexicons. The word does not mean if unbelief has begun operating in your heart, then you're an evil person. The word wicked means this. Whenever unbelief sets up in our heart, it is injurious to us. It does us harm and it does us damage. It's like an enemy has gotten inside the camp that is trying to sabotage our heart so that we will turn away from the living God. He's not saying that whenever unbelief begins to enter in, that we become an evil person. The Greek word is, it's pon eros, and it means full of toil and annoyances. It brings hardship and peril. It causes pain and trouble. And it's from a root word that means hurtful or diseased or ill. That's what unbelief does to our heart whenever it begins to set up. And often it begins to set up whenever we were reaching big in faith and we were really going for it in God. And whether it was a test of faith or an all-out attack, there was a wound or a bruise that came to our faith, to our believer. And it's easier actually to draw back and to let unbelief settle in than it is to continue to press forward in faith and continue to reach for big things and to go hard in faith in our pursuit of the Lord. And so I believe he's actually calling us to recognize where unbelief or doubt has begun to operate and actually begin to dislodge that thing from our heart. And to recognize where faith used to operate in a supernatural way where we just thought, you know, God, it's unreasonable to believe anything other than you're going to come through for me. You're going to uphold me by your mighty right hand. You're going to provide for me according to your riches and glory. You have plans for me to prosper me and give me a future and a hope. All of your ways are good. All of your plans are perfect. Your plan for my life is the very best thing for me. If that's not operating in our heart, then I believe the Lord is giving us an opportunity to identify where unbelief or doubt may have begun to operate, and he's giving us an opportunity to check that thing and actually turn from it, to actually repent like we were talking about earlier and say, God, I'm turning back to faith now. I'm allowing faith to operate in a powerful way again. I'm getting my hopes way up. I'm choosing to walk in faith again. God, let the gift of faith begin to operate again in my life. And to me, this is the thing I want to end with. One of the great gifts from the Lord in my life in this recent season has been the great gift of tongues. The great gift of the spiritual gift of tongues. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes because I believe that this spiritual gift, which, you know, I wasn't exposed to the gift of tongues at all growing up. I grew up Baptist, and in the particular churches I was a part of, it wasn't practiced. I even heard some things about the gift of tongues, like it was gibberish or it was demonic or whatever. And so I actually had to renounce some of the things that I had heard in order to lay hold of this gift in my own life years ago. But there's been seasons in my life where the Lord has used this gift to be an incredible, incredible blessing to me. And I want to talk about that. I want to just hit a few things that the Word of God says about tongues and encourage those who are already operating in this. And if there's anybody who's not, then I want to give an opportunity to pray for you. So here's some things that the Scriptures say about this great gift of tongues. I just like to call it the great gift of tongues because it's been such a great blessing in my life. 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's listed among the gifts. Mark 16:17, it just plainly tells us that these signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. This is one of the gifts that believers are given to walk in. We see a number of places in the book of Acts that often when someone is filled with the Spirit, they get the gift of tongues. I think that that always happens, but I think that it's common and it's normal for that to happen. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and following, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. Many of the times, whenever you see people receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it comes with the gift of tongues. Some of you, this will be very foundational for, but I just want to lay a foundation and then keep building on it. 1 Corinthians 14:39, do not, it says, brothers, covet prophecy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. And so obviously we're not supposed to forbid it, but there's this connection between the prophetic and tongues that we see come up over and over again in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, it's the most thorough chapter we have in the Bible on the way the gift of prophecy operates. It's also the most thorough chapter in the Bible on the gift of tongues. They're joined together for a reason. And we see actually a number of times where, like Acts 19:6, Paul laid hands on them and the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. 1 Corinthians 14:39. I've got the wrong reference here, but that's one of the ones where Paul talks about how, I think it's the one where he talks about the one who prophesies edifies the church, the one who speaks in tongues edifies himself. They're often joined together is the point that I'm trying to make. And I've found that the more I exercise this gift, the more the revelatory gifts of the Spirit operate in my life, the prophetic gifts, the more that they operate, because there's a connection between praying in the Spirit and actually being activated in the revelatory gifts. A couple more things. There's a gift of tongues that requires interpretation. We see that in 1 Corinthians 14. There's also a gift of tongues like on the day of Pentecost, where the believers that were baptized in the Spirit began to speak with tongues, and people from all over the Roman Empire understood what they were saying in their own language. And so there's a gift that would be like a missionary gift where someone is enabled to speak a language that they can't naturally speak. And I know several people who have operated in the gift of tongues in this way, where they've been able to say something to someone and they didn't speak their language, but it was just, you know, there's like the Lord would say to them, say something to them in your prayer language. And they would say, Lord, that's awfully weird. And then they would do it and the person would understand it was in their native tongue or something like that. But there's also a gift, and this is the one that I'm talking about mostly this morning, that is a prayer language. It's a gift that Paul calls praying with your spirit. Praying in the Spirit. There could be other things that it refers to, but usually when the Bible says praying in the Spirit, it's talking about praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What will I do then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. If you've never done this, look in the Bible every time it talks about praying in the Spirit. And it's amazing what it says about praying in the Spirit. It says when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. You're literally, when you're praying in the Spirit, your faith is being strengthened. It's being built up. It's being edified. When you pray in the Spirit, you are edified. It says he who prays in the Spirit edifies himself. The word edifies comes from edifice. You are literally building your spirit stronger like a fortress when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, when we speak in an unknown tongue, we speak not to men, but to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries. There are mysteries from heaven that are unveiled to us whenever we pray in the Spirit. That's part of this gift of revelation that goes hand in hand with a prayer language in tongues. There's a revelatory gift that's connected. And as I've been praying in the Spirit more and more, I feel like I'm getting more revelation out of the Scriptures. I feel like I'm hearing the voice of God better because in the Spirit there are mysteries that are revealed to us. You know, Paul says a couple things about how, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful, but your spirit prays. Your understanding is unfruitful means this. If you have never spoken tongues, one thing that is often a barrier to people is they'll say, you know, I don't want to fake it. And that's a legitimate thing. I know for years, not for years, but for months, I knew people who prayed in tongues and who had a prayer language, but I had been taught so many things about it, and it's very strange. I mean, it sounds strange. Can we be honest and say that? I mean, it sounds odd, but it's because our mind doesn't understand it, but our mind's not supposed to. When you speak in a tongue, you speak to God and not to men. Sometimes God gives us an interpretation of what's being said, and then the mind of man can understand it. But one of those barriers we've got to get over is realizing, you know, you may say, Lord, I want to step out in faith and begin to exercise this gift, and it requires you to release a sound out of your mouth that makes no sense to your mind whatsoever, because your understanding doesn't get it, your mind doesn't get it, but your spirit does get it, and your spirit speaks mysteries. And people will say, I don't want it to be fake. And I say, if you step out and operate in the gift of tongues, it's not fake, it's faith. Every gift of the Spirit operates by faith, and it operates by our will. You have to choose to prophesy to someone. You have to choose to lay hands on the sick. You have to choose to release a prayer language out of your mouth. It's something that we actually participate in. I remember the way I got the gift of tongues and the way my wife got it were so different. I got it sovereignly on a hill in my truck by myself, interceding deeply for my family, and I got the gift of tongues. I'd been asking the Lord for it. My wife heard somebody preach about the gift of tongues and said, many of you haven't operated in the gift of tongues yet because you're afraid of doing something in the flesh, or you're afraid the enemy's going to get in. But you've just got to choose to do it. The Holy Spirit might not pop you on the head and make something just fly out of your mouth. You may actually have to exercise your will. And right there in the seat that day, my wife, after a couple years of asking God for the gift, just began speaking in tongues for the first time. And of course, she's been doing it ever since for the past 13 years or so. Couple more things. This is interesting. Paul said this, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And I've read a couple different commentaries. Some think Paul is saying, no question, if you and I go head to head, I am praying in tongues more than all of you. Others think he's saying, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together, because the Greek word can be all of you plural. Like, if all of you add up how much you're praying in the Spirit, I'm praying in the Spirit 12 hours a day, I'm doing it more than all of you put together. Paul also says, I wish that all of you speak in tongues. So he actually says that. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he says, I would that you all spoke with tongues. He says, but rather that you prophesied, because if you prophesy, it's a greater gift because it edifies the church. You know, many people are getting edified rather than just one. But how many of you, if there's a way God says you can do this, you can do this and choose to automatically strengthen your spirit and have mysteries be revealed to you and step into a greater level of the revelatory gifts and the prophetic gifts, and you can do this thing that will strengthen you in your most holy faith, I'll take that. You know, I'll also prophesy and edify the church, but I will certainly lay hold of this gift that God has given to us. And so what I've been doing is every morning, a friend and I have been calling each other early, and we've been praying in the Spirit just for 15 or 20 minutes a day, and we've missed one day in the past couple weeks, but it's been amazing. I've noticed all throughout the day, many days, I'll just be driving or I'll be working, and I'll notice that my spirit is still praying. I'm still just, you know, operating in this gift. Whenever Paul talks about in Romans how we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Whenever we pray in the Spirit, we don't even realize that we are praying things for ourselves, for our family, for our region, for our nation. We are interceding according to the perfect will of God. As a matter of fact, I remember that whenever I was asking the Lord for the gift of tongues, I just remember thinking, God, I don't want to fake anything, but if this is real, I remember thinking how supernatural that the Holy Spirit would actually use my vocal cords to pray His will. How amazing that I would get to interact with the Lord in that way, that I would actually get to partner with Him and He would actually pray through me. What an incredible, incredible and amazing gift. And so I want to encourage you, this is a gift that God has given to us. I believe it's a gift in this season. I think there's some seasons where God is breathing on certain things. There's seasons where He says, go after healing. There's seasons where He says, you know, spend the hour you used to spend in prayer, spend it in the Word. There's seasons where He emphasizes things. And it seems to me that right now, at least in my life and many in my community, this gift of the Holy Spirit is an incredible blessing, and it's aligning us with God's prophetic purposes, and it's enabling us to enter into a deep place of intercession, praying the perfect will of God. And so what I want to do, I want to go ahead and call the team up, but I want to say this. I want to pray for all of us in the room, just that God would strengthen us and encourage us, especially in this gift. But in a minute, they're going to share some things from the front until around noon or so. Then they're going to minister one-on-one to those of you who would like to stay. But if any of you have not received this gift of tongues, then I would like to pray for you. And I'd like to lay hands on you and just, you know, walk you through this. I'd be happy to do that. And of course, if either of you would like to pray with us, that would be amazing. And but of course, no pressure to do that. But I'll just meet you over here after we do some prophetic ministry, and we will just go for it. So, and this is Tom Lunger. Many of you, I'm sure, know Tom, but he's the guy who first brought us into Augusta. I love Tom. He's going to minister with us as well. All right, I'm going to get out of the way and turn it over to the team. Actually, let me pray, and then I'm going to get out of the way. Holy Spirit, we thank You for this incredible gift of tongues, Lord. This supernatural prayer language that You've given to us. God, we say, would You stir up the gift that is in us? I encourage you, ask the Lord to increase your vocabulary. Ask Him to expand this gift. We grow in all the gifts of the Spirit. Ask Him to grow your gift of tongues. Lord, give whole new languages. There are warfare tongues, worship tongues, intercession tongues. Paul says there's varieties of tongues. God, release new varieties of the gift of tongues. God, release whole new manifestations of this gift in the lives of these here, we ask in Jesus' name. Let this be a mighty weapon in the hand of the people of God in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
I have a word for the church. Anyway, I was talking to Pastor Donnie and about them coming and everything, and he was just saying, you know, we just need a breakthrough. And so I began to pray into that, and then this morning as I sit back there, the Lord began to show me how you can have breakthrough. And it's pretty simple, but real hard. First of all, pray for the service. Pray for the church. You say, well, and I'll just say this. I've been in churches where people don't pray for the, it's not on their radar to pray for the church because, well, the pastor, that's his job and the leaders and all that. But no, we're community, we're family, and we need to pray for one another. And then two, he said, this is how you're going to have, like I said, breakthrough. Two is that before you come to church, you'll prepare yourself. Some people just get up, well, church today, I'm put on the clothes and then let's go. And then I know because I've been a father of four that sometimes just getting kids ready, getting the wife ready, get to go, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, how do we do this? And then I think the thing that we do that can be the worst is, thank you, Lord, I got Sunday off. Hallelujah. I don't have to do anything spiritual. Not. And so and what I'm going to do is I would, and here's the way I felt the Lord wanted to do it. is you say yes to those two things. Lord, I'll do those two things. And then, Holy Spirit, help me to do it. Because I'm telling you, the enemy will try to do all that he can to keep you from doing that. But I'm telling you, there's going to be breakthrough if you do it. And it's just, how much do you want me to pray? And you need to pray through the week. Not just, okay, Lord, I get up on Sunday. Lord, bless the church. Amen. Hallelujah. No, you say, Holy Spirit, remind me. Show me when to, what to pray, how to pray. And then just do it. And then on Sunday mornings, Holy Spirit, help me to prepare myself so I can be a part of the body. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to do. If you feel like the Lord in your heart, you're stirred to do that. Now, I'm just telling you, don't say, I'm going to stand up, God, and then don't do it. God takes these kind of things serious. But if you're saying, you know what, Lord, I'll make a commitment that I'll pray during the week and I'll prepare myself on Sunday. But I'll do that, Lord, and I want you to stand up and to make that commitment. Now, if you don't feel like you don't want to do it, we're not looking down at you or feel bad about you. Amen. But that's what you feel like God's called you to do. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to pray. You're going to put it into practice right now. We're just going to take a couple minutes here, and I want you to pray for the church, and I want you to pray for your pastors, Pastor Donnie and his wife. I want you to pray for them. That's another thing about praying for the church. Just take a couple minutes here. We're going to pray. So go ahead and you pray. And I'm not going to lead you. You need to do this yourself. There's his presence right there. Thank you, Jesus. Super kapar.
We have to end the platform stuff right around noon.
Okay. Amen. I'm done. Amen. All right. Well, I'm done. I just have a prophetic word for you also.
Amen.
This young lady right here in the blonde hair, sitting down, the black shirt. Yes, you. I heard, this is kind of funny, but I think you'll get it. It's like, show me the money. Show me what's real. You want to see the real, and you may have feel a little bit skeptical about things because you've seen things that haven't maybe played out, but you want to see the real deal. And the Lord says, if you pursue me, if you really pursue me, you're going to see the real deal. You're going to see me.
I have a series of different types of words, but the specific ones is the lady in three rows back in the blue shirt, blonde hair. Yes. I hear the Lord saying that you have many prayer requests before him. Some of them you've been praying for a long time, even when you were very young. And he says he has not forgotten any of them. And before you know it, it will come to pass to be encouraged. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The lady in the flowered shirt. Yes, you. Mm-hmm. The Lord says that he has put his creativity in you. You see things very different than most people see it, which you tend to find if there's 10 things wrong, you would find the one good thing in that. And he wants to draw that out of you more because that's part of his heart. That's part of his heart of the restoration for people, restoring people who are hurt and who are wounded. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call out some words. Someone who has an occupation as a carpenter. Is anybody here that builds houses, work as a carpenter? Okay. At the end, if you don't mind coming over here, I'd like to pray for you. There's a theme of words that's been going throughout this time that we've been here. So all those who were born in the 90s, if you're born in the 90s, if it's okay with you, Pastor, if they can go over there, we'd like to pray a blessing on you. The number is 923, if it means anything to you, or 923. I'd also like to pray for you. I have a word from the Lord. And also the number 13. I heard the name Rose or Rosa. So that's your name, or you know somebody with that name. I believe I have a word from the Lord for you. The other thing I have is words of healing. And I'm kind of go down the list. One is varicose veins, tingling in the feet, a deviated septum, tight jaw. Your jaw feels like it's really tight. Lower back pain. Spasms, like your muscle feels like it's spasming. It could be in the right arm or anywhere. And the last thing is, if you experience loss, recent loss, like a deep loss, it could be a job, it could be a relationship, it could be someone died, the Lord wants to touch you today.
Okay. I have a word for the gentleman with the blue-green shirt on. The Lord told me that you are a studier and that he's called you to instruct. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he's called you to teach. Okay. Well, I believe he's taking you to a higher level that you will even teach the word of God.
Yeah. So, Pastor, I actually felt something for you actually when we first came in the door. And that was something that's pretty obvious, and that's just like this really gentle Papa's heart. and actually, something I felt the Lord show me was that you're actually better at counseling than you might think. And actually what came to mind, I actually saw my cousin who is actually a licensed Christian counselor, and he's also gifted as well. And so, like, I feel like the Lord was encouraging you that what he's, like, how he's prepared you to counsel and give wise counsel is, like, legit. And it's also a gift for it. But also, there's just this, it's like that kind of intertwined with, like, a natural disposition of, like, this gentleness and, like, this kind of creating safety. And really, I think that's, is represented well here in the culture that, that you can see here in this place is what the Lord's been doing in you and you guys just kind of offering what you have. And so, and even just looking around, you see a lot of, more than usual, like these gentle Papa hearts, even among some of the younger guys here. And I really feel like it's a culture flowing from something that the Lord's cultivated in you, and you just in obedience, like giving what you have. And really creating an awesome space, almost like a sanctuary, where there is a place, like a safe place for healing, but also freedom. So, yeah, let's be blessed with that.
Come on. Cool. So I'm going to be really quick. I'm going to just pick two people, but one is the green shirt with the bun. You. Yeah. So what I really feel like what the Lord was saying right when I came into the building was that I feel like you were a leader among friends. And I don't know what exactly was going on with your friend's life, but apparently I really felt like they're facing with a lot of trauma and like tons of drama. And I feel like what God was saying, and this is really involved with their souls, that start praying for your friend's salvation. And I believe what God is going to be doing is that he's going to line you up where they're going to be calling you on the phone for help or advice. And God is going to set up the perfect moments for you to share the gospel. And I know that may seem intimidating right now, saying, I don't even know how to share the gospel. But I feel like the Lord is just saying, open up your mouth to share about me, and it's going to witness to your friends. I really believe you're going to see salvations in your friends this year, even though they've been crazy, like with pain and loss and all these things, that God is going to use you as a voice, as a counselor, to bring them into the kingdom of God. Second one is the guitar player in the very back. I saw you with the Bible in your hand. I really feel like God has given you a pastoral heart. I really feel like God is gifting you a ministry with young adults. And I just really felt like maybe something to do with college students. But I really feel like God is going to position you to be an influence with these kinds of people. Also, love words of knowledge, but for healing and everything, I want to pray for people for healing. Left knee, shin, and also too, there's other things that it's in my phone, but I can't remember right now. But God is one. Oh, sport injuries. God wants to heal those with sport injuries.
Sorry, well, I kind of jumped. I'm jumping in front. Also, to continue with the guitar player, I want to throw this out real fast. The Lord is really pleased with your boldness to step out and play the guitar, and he's going to increase your skill as you offer that to him. For the drummer there, I really felt that you have such an anointing for releasing worship, even from the drums, and without opening your mouth and singing, when you play the drums, because your heart is offering your devotion to the Lord through your instrument, it sets the tone and releases God's atmosphere. And I believe that you have an anointing to lead others into that true worship that you carry. And I even see you teaching others how to worship the Lord and even how to lead in worship with their instruments and with their voice. And for Bob and fiance back there, I got to meet Bob. I don't remember your fiance's name. But the Lord, but when you guys walked in is when the Lord gave me this word. And I saw y'all together. I didn't know. I thought you were already married. So then I heard, oh, fiance. So that's cool. But I see you two ministering together and really having fruitfulness in helping others to build the foundation of Christ. And I believe it's, you know, young children, but even more than that, children in the spirit. You have something to carry to help them have Christ formed in them and to be stable in the spirit. And also the Lord was giving me some knowledge about some healings that he's doing. God is going to be healing head injuries and even mental illness. And I believe some of you who had that may have already been healed during the service. So I want to pray for anybody who has a head injury or some type of, it could even be neurological or a mental thing. God is going to heal that.
Mine is really short, but I just see it over like the whole church. Just like remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And like if you're feeling weak or sad, just like remember to have joy and hope in the Lord, and that'll like strengthen you.
Amen. Is there Stephen?
Step more forward.
Sorry. Is there Stephen? Or last name Stephen?
Right here on the left.
There's Stephen? Okay. So the Lord gave me this before I got here. Your name means crowned one. And the Lord wants you to know that he will not waste any trials you've been through. He will not, he certainly will turn the ashes into beauty. And like it says in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time can't be compared with the glory which will be revealed. And I feel on earth it'll be revealed. And what you may have counted as loss are gains. So God for you. And is there, does Boulder, Colorado mean anything to anybody? Boulder, Colorado? Yeah? Okay, awesome. So what I got was you may have felt like, you know, in baseball, three strikes, you're out. But the Lord, our Redeemer, he wants me to remind you that his mercies are new every morning and his compassions fail not. And to be encouraged, to be free, there's new days ahead for you, truly new beginnings. That's what I feel. Awesome. Okay. And one more, this boy, in the red, ginger, they say now, right? Because I have a ginger. You have red hair. So I got the word Judah. I don't know if that's your name or not, but I just felt like there's just a lot of the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. And that if you're, you know, in those days where you feel like that, because we all get them. And the song that Reckless Love, I think it was, the words that were jumping out that I felt for you was there's no mountain God won't climb up coming after you. There's no wall he won't kick down. I just feel his compassion for you. I just see him like the Avengers or whatever those, I just see him kicking walls down because of his love for you. He just loves you so much. And like he has such compassion, like even in one of the stories you read, when he saw the son afar off, he saw him afar off. He was looking for him and he ran after him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I just feel his love for you. But again, that there's no wall that he won't kick down, no mountain he won't climb up. There's nothing he won't do for you. And he's already done it all when he was on the cross. So I just want to share that.